Good Sunday morning to you. I am Scott Pauley, the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ in St. Albans, West Virginia. It's great to have you along with us this morning for Words of Truth. Now, throughout the past couple of weeks, we've probably heard the expression Happy New Year used in countless ways. Many of us probably watched the ball drop in Times Square and heard the expression Happy New Year. Many of us were with family and friends when the clock struck midnight and we shouted Happy New Year. Well, now people are going to be talking about starting over with new things, new ways, and bettering themselves in different ways. Folks are going to talk about losing weight and quitting bad habits and starting new habits, perhaps, that are better. But as Christians, we must always be trying to better ourselves. And there are several ways that we can do that. And this morning, I want to talk about three specific things that we need to remember to get our new year off to a great start and help ourselves grow. So instead of a happy new year, we need a happy new you. So what makes a happy new you? Well, it's the new birth, the new walk, and the new goal. If you will, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, birth is the way that we made our entry into this physical world. Spiritual birth is the way that we make our entry into the spiritual world. Nicodemus here and the other Pharisees believed that their physical descent from Abraham entitled them to acceptance in the kingdom of God. And Jesus makes it plain that it is spiritual birth, not physical birth, that entitles one to acceptance in God's kingdom. But notice the necessity of the new birth. Jesus said that unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Jews understood seeing the kingdom of God as participating in the kingdom at the end of the world. Seeing the kingdom of God would mean that one is resurrected. However, unless we are born again, we shall not be resurrected. As we examine other passages, we learn some things about the new birth. First of all, this new birth comes from God. In John chapter 1, verse 13, we see that we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this new birth is possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And we also see that the new birth takes place through the Word of God. We have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. So at this time of the year, many are going to be dreaming of starting over, starting a weight loss program, spending more time with family, perhaps finding a new job, whatever it may be. But in Jesus, what we need to understand is it really is possible to start again. As we are born again, we have a new identity as a child of God. We have new opportunities to serve God. We have a new hope that we shall be with God in eternity. If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, verse 18, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So my question to you is, have you experienced the new birth? Or do you need, perhaps, to be born again? Number two, in this new year, in order to have a happy new you, we must remember the new walk. In Romans chapter 6 at verse 4 we read, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life." You see, when we are buried with Christ in baptism, we rise again to walk in a new life. We're not saved to live the same lives that we lived before our conversion, but we are to consider ourselves, Romans 6:11, to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Galatians chapter 5 at verse 24 says, "Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And it says in 1 Peter 2:24, "Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness." If we do not change, or if we are not changed at baptism, can we really claim to be a Christian? The answer is no. And finally, in this new year, in order to have a happy new you, we must have a new goal. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Paul writes, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You see, before his conversion, Paul had one primary goal, and that was to be the best Jew that he could be. Notice what Paul says concerning his former days in Judaism back in verse 3 of Philippians chapter 3. He says, "For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put the confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless." Paul knew that when he was following Judaism, that he was a true Jew, and he was going to give it his all. And notice in Galatians chapter 1 at verse 14, he says, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Paul was well on his way to being a powerful influence in Judaism. But when Paul became a Christian, his ambitions in life drastically changed. He forgot those things which were behind him. Now, that he forgot those things which were behind him did not mean that they were obliterated from his memory, but it means that he didn't allow these things to consume him to where he could not keep his eye on the goal. We, too, need to forget our past lives. We need to forget our past sins, our past failures, even our past successes sometimes. And we need to focus on serving God the best that we possibly can. Paul was no longer concerned with being the best Jew that he could be, but he was determined to serve God to the best of his ability, the way God now wanted him to. And Scripture implores us to have goals for ourselves. Luke chapter 13 verse 24 says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." You see, many people are going to try to get into heaven. Many people are going to try to be a part of the family of God, but they won't be able to enter because they fail to do what God tells them to do. They don't want to let go of the past. They want to do their own thing sometimes instead of what God wants them to do. Therefore, it will cause them to miss out on heaven. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent or study to show yourself approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed." We must have goals. We must want to get better and better as the days go on as Christians. We must have a goal, and that goal needs to be to get to heaven and take as many people as we can with us. So what new goal are you going to set for this new year? Will it be to be faithful to God? Will it be to move closer to heaven? Will it be to attend services of the church? Will it be to obey the gospel? You know, in the story Alice in Wonderland, at one point Alice says to the Cheshire Cat, "Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. That's the same way for those of us in this life. If we don't care what happens to us in eternity, what happens when we die, we don't have to do much. It doesn't matter what we do, how we go. But if we have our goal set as heaven, then we've got to follow God's plan, starting with His plan of salvation, which is, upon hearing the Word of God, we must first believe it to be true. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." We see there that one must first believe. But God doesn't stop there. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, He says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So upon our hearing of the Word of God, we must choose whether or not we want to believe. And should we choose to believe, we'll realize that we have to repent. And that word repent means change. We have to change our lives. We have to stop living for Satan and begin living for God and turn away from sin. And then we're told in Romans 10, verse 9, that we must confess Jesus is Lord. It says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So there again, there's an act that we're told to do that will save us. So we see that all of these are a necessity. But it doesn't stop there. In 1 Peter chapter 3:21, baptism is explained to us, and the fact that we must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. It says in 1 Peter 3:21, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And upon that baptism, our sins are washed away, and we can call ourselves Christians. And we can continue to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, that says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins." This year, do you want to have a happy new you? If so, remember the new birth, the new walk, and the new goal. And remember that God's plan is the right plan, and it's the only plan that gets you to heaven. We're happy that you were with us this morning. We hope that you join us every Sunday morning for Words of Truth. Again, my name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. Feel free to visit us at any time. Sunday mornings, we begin Bible study at 9:30 a.m. Then we'll have worship at 10:25 and again at 6 p.m. And then we also meet for a Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. So we hope you stop by and see us. If you're not in the St. Albans area and you would like to attend the services of the Church of Christ, contact me and I will be glad to help you find a congregation located close to you. If you would like to contact me, you can call 304-727-0761, or you can email me at wvdj105@aol.com. If you would like to study the Bible together more, feel free to let me know and we can get started right away. We can study together in person, we can study through an email correspondence course, or a regular mail correspondence course. And as always, our services are totally free. We just want you to learn the Bible and know how to get to heaven. We will never ask you for any money or anything in return for studying God's Word with you. Again, we thank you for being with us this morning. We invite you back every Sunday morning for Words of Truth.